But online to tell us more is Mr. Qasim Abdullah himself, who says the land must be preserved and not developed. Mr. Qasim Abdullah, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Alaikum salam, shukran for the invitation.
Absolute pleasure. It must be, I don't know how to describe it, you must be quite emotional to hear the news that members of your family are preparing to try and sell off two parcels of the town of Baru, because you've been very outspoken, like your late father, that this land should not be sold.
You know, Shafiq, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you need to know right on the head, I'm very emotional at the moment. To think that I've been fighting my whole family, my father's brothers and sisters' sons and daughters, I've been fighting them for the last 50 years.
Wow.
My father has always been against it. Because, as you know, on our, as you said, we own 20% of the land up there. We are heirs of 20% of the land. I don't think we own it. What I mean by that is because if we own it, it's a different story. I say it is just in a trust there. My father was very much against the Shafiq.
Mm-hmm.
May Allah grant him the highest place in Jannah.
I mean to that.
My mother was very concerned about it. One day, I just want to tell you one little story.
Mm-hmm.
One day, my mother phoned me to tell me, Qasim, you must come through, your family's all here, we're trying to make your father sign. And they've been putting my pressure onto my father, I think, up till the last day when he passed on. When I came, I rushed through, me and my wife, when I got there, my three cousins were there with two representatives of who, I don't know. Apparently, they were agents for a big building magnet. Apparently, they wanted, what I heard, they wanted to buy the land and build the Cape Sunday.
Wow.
I can imagine how long that goes on. That is, was in about 1975.
Right.
And my guidance was the late Imamani Basir.
Mashallah.
I went to him and I said to him, Imam, I was with my father now, they wanted to sell the land. And he says, my son, don't worry, we are fighting it. Because I know for a fact, 3 years later, Imamani Basir and the late Dr. Ahmad Davids, they formed the trust, the Preservation Tanabaru Preservation Trust. And 20 years later, the Tanabaru Trust came about. And they were fighting it. And that's just one of the incidents. You know, my father always used to say, Qasim, who can ons daai grond verkoop? Ons voorvaders lê daar.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being said, Abu Bakr Effendi. And I mean, do we know who that is? A direct descendant of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed.
And we went to sell the ground. My family, Shafiq, I'm not going to mention names.
Right, no, we don't have to, yeah.
Because I'm not speaking for the Doughty family, neither am I speaking for the Regal family. I'm speaking on behalf of my own family. My father, being the last born, was registered Abdullah, although he is Abbas Abdullah Doughty.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we're still carrying that name as Abdullah. I'm talking about my immediate family. They've been carrying on and talking there, and then they've been having meetings and blah, blah, blah. But you see, there was some woman, I think, that is very, very instrumental in this. Because I'll be honest with you, I've read the document that all my brothers and sisters signed, I think. I think all of them signed besides me.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow one of my cousins got hold of one of those copies. And he showed it to me, and I was very perturbed, because the lady that made them sign was, you know, that the council apparently mentioned that they made a mistake to declare that a residential area. Residential on that thing. They have now also applied to sort of maximize, you know, to put up bigger units and things like that or whatever. But Shafiq, I don't know what to say. I'm very emotional, Tariq.
Okay, Kasim Abdullah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some traffic quickly, and we're going to take a few ads. If you don't mind holding online, then you can gather yourself together and we can carry on with the chat if you don't mind. But just do please hang online. We're going to do some other business and then we're going to get back to the really serious business. Thank you. Shukran. Stay online. We'll be back with you. To the Fast Lane Show, we're currently talking about the Tanu Baru that certain families have want to sell 20% of it off to the highest bidder, reserve price of 20 million rand. Claremont are the auctioneers, happening at the end of June. But there's a deeper story, and Mr. Kasim Abdullah, who is one of the families, but he's a member of the family who's resisting the sale of the land. He says it must be preserved, not developed. It is the land of our ancestors and people who made massive contributions to who we are today lie buried there. Kasim Abdullah, and before the break, he actually said that the council admitted it had made a mistake in allowing that part of the Boerkaap to be declared residential land. And what's happened is that other members of the family want to sell off the land. But Kasim Abdullah, welcome back to the show after the break.
Shukran, Shafiq. Now, Shafiq, what perturbs me is in the Claremont advertisement, not once or nowhere is mentioned about that is a cemetery that they want to auction.
Now, isn't that the point? And another point that people have been making to us here at the radio station and people I've been chatting to, they're saying, does Claremont realize, do the potential buyers of the land realize, because I've been told that there is a pre-arrangement, do they realize that they are actually going to be buying a lemon, a real lemon, because nobody's going to allow development on that land?
That is so true, Sufik. That is so true. You know, not the Cape Town community, not the Western Cape community. I'm not talking even about the Boerkaap community. I'm talking about the whole of the Western Cape. Mm. They are rallying behind this to stop this auction coming off. Like you said, the guy that's going to buy it or this, but obviously a conglomerate, obviously so somebody is going to buy this. What are they going to buy? I am confident they don't think, because of the action that people is planning, I don't think they will ever be able to build their Shafiq. Yeah. Allah must guide us here. We must make dua.
No,
Allah must guide us. Nobody will ever touch the ground, Shafiq.
No, I mean to that. Kasim Abdullah, I'm going to leave it there with you. Dr. Adil Basir from the Town of Baru Committee is online. Kasim Abdullah, shukran to you. And I think everybody salutes your very principled stand. May Allah reward you for your morality. Shukran to you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Online is Dr. Adil Basir, who's chairperson of the Town of Baru Trust. Dr. Adil, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam, Shafiq. Shukran for inviting me again to express our, firstly, to express our sincere thanks and gratitude to you and the Voice of the Cape for raising awareness of this issue. Alhamdulillah. And also to the Voice of the Cape listeners and the rest of the Cape Town community for the comprehensive support as expressed on social media and even on the number of phone calls we've been getting as trustees. You know, I had a call yesterday from a person in Durban expressing her support, and I said, look, there is a KZN angle to this even, you know, because in 1996, you know, the late Professor Fatima Meer, you know, came here to launch her book, The South African Gandhi. And she had a close relationship with my dad, late dad, and she said, Imam, you know, we need to transform this land into a garden of remembrance. So she was one of the first people to tout the idea of a garden of remembrance. So alhamdulillah, when I told this to the person, she said, well, now she's even more committed to the cause, alhamdulillah. So yes, we are very appreciative of everybody's support for the struggle we engage in at the moment. Insofar as Kasim Abdullah is concerned, it has been my privilege and honor to know him for the past 40 years. Like you've correctly pointed out, he's a man of principle. He has taken this stance again, you know, it's jeopardizing his relationship with his family, but his moral compass is so strong that is of greater importance for him that that Anabar will be preserved, inshallah.
No, absolutely. I can tell you as a journalist, it's really refreshing to talk to people like that, because so often on air I have to talk to villains, and so it really is refreshing to deal with somebody who's actually making a really genuine stand on something.
Yes.
Dr. Ajil, what is the latest play in terms of the whole scenario? Have you managed to make contact with Claremont? Has it been explained to any of the parties that, as we're all saying, that they could possibly buy the biggest lemon of their business career?
Yeah, no, absolutely no. An update on that, Shafiq, is firstly, like I've mentioned the other day, our first priority is to engage the family, you know, and try and convince them, you know, to change their minds, you know. And in that respect, one of our trustees, Fatima Bihadin, has been engaging them over the past 3 or 4 days. And yes, alhamdulillah, she's made progress. Many of them, quite a number of them have said they're not aware of this and they haven't signed. At least they haven't given, you know, informed consent. You know, in our community, you know, if Puta signs and Khuya signs, then okay, Alma also sign.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if they did sign, it wasn't with the informed, it wasn't also being counseled and given informed consent on the matter. So that we're still pursuing that. We still want to make sure we've engaged them and we've exhausted 100% any possibility of them coming back and say that we weren't properly counseled about the matter. So that is where we're standing in terms of the family. We are making progress, but like I said, it is an ongoing process. Then secondly, of course, in terms of Claremont, now they have been very obstinate. They've said no, they are just taking instructions from the executor. They've got nothing to do with us. They haven't really come to the party and acknowledged the error of their ways in terms of how they've structured and the advert. So that is as far as Claremont is concerned. And from our side, we obviously have now progressed to the next stage. We have produced some banners, which we are going to display on the Long Market Street of the fence, and also we are in the process of organizing some protest march with the banners prominently displayed, maybe walking from Royal Street up to the Tanabaru. So that is as far as we have gone over the last few days, Shafiq.
Dr. Ajil Basir, if you can just stay online. We're just going to quickly do the news and a few items, and then after that, I just want to quickly go over what we've discussed so the public can stay in the picture in terms of the sale of the Tanabaru. If you can just stay online, and we'll get back to you right after this.
Driving you this Ramadan.
And welcome back to the Fastlane Show. We're discussing the sale of 20% of the Tanabaru. We've spoken to Mr. Kasim Abdullah, who is one of the family members who's been steadfast against the sale of that part of the Tanabaru. Online is Dr. Adil Basir, chairperson of the Tanabaru Trust. Very quickly, some WhatsApp messages coming through. Salam, Uncle Shafiq, put to Kasim, who was on air. This leaves one speechless, the sale of Tanabaru land. I just lifted my hands in dua. May Allah wa ta'ala accept highly and protect. And it says, may Allah answer your prayers with better than what you asked him for. Let it be a garden of remembrance. Saddest part, family isn't understanding the deen. Another one coming through, Salam Bata Shafiq. There has to be a person who is owner or part owner behind the sale. They would need to explain why they need to sell the Irvine besides making a massive profit. I think the question is, will they even make a profit? Because if there's no development on the land, the sale will most likely fall through. But Dr. Ajil Basir, just to get back to you quickly, you were saying that you're going to be putting banners up on the fences, and you have arranged some protest action as well.
Yes, inshallah, you know, that is the next step that we planning for. But like I said, you know, our focus is to engage all of them. The idea being we're trying to avoid at all costs any court action. We're trying to avoid any naming and shaming. And so that is our priority, you know. But if push comes to shove, then we don't have any other alternative. But to challenge, firstly, the legality of ownership. You see, in 1857, Shafiq, you know, four imams on the same day, took transfer of those four urban. Now, you tell me now, why would they do that? Why would four imams in 1857, on the same day, take ownership it wasn't because they thought, let's sit down and build some mansion here for us. No. It's quite clear. It's quite obvious there was a collaborative effort here to say, look, let's buy these urban so that we can bury our deceased there. You know? I mean, it's mm-hmm. quite clear for me. And secondly, of course, the fact of the matter is that Haji Samuddin, when he passed away in 1869, he failed to mention, he mentioned his properties, Kirom Street and so forth and so on, but he did not mention the Tanabaru urban as part of his estate. So that's quite clear. He understood it clearly that that was not part of his estate. That was, he was a wakil, it was mm-hmm. wakaf land. It's clear that that was his understanding of the matter. And then so almost 100 years passes, in fact more than 100 years. This is now Haji Samuddin passing away in 1869. In 1975 only does the family take transfer of the land. Now you tell me, for 100 years nobody takes transfer of this land. So it's quite clear that the people that followed Haji Samuddin, they understood it to be like that and left the land as wakaf.
Absolutely.
So that's a thing we can easily challenge, you know, that we challenge the legality of ownership as well, on the one hand. On the other hand, of course, we could challenge the validity of the mandate that has been given to the executor. Have enough people signed? Have enough heirs signed, number one? And number two, was it informed consent that they signed for?
So many questions indeed. And of course, Dr. Adil, I think the relevant points you're making is 100-year hiatus or limbo or whatever you call it, where there's no claim of the land. And
yes.
I would agree with you if I look at the work of the late Dr. Ahmed Davids, who lived in your house half the time, and personal conversations that I had with Ahmed so many years ago about the Tanubaru, where he drummed it into my head as a young journalist in those days, that the Tanubaru, as you say, Shafiq, the Tanubaru is wakaf. It was drummed into my head, and I'm sure into many other heads as well.
Of course, yes. No, alhamdulillah, the late Ahmed Davids did fantastic work. Spent months and months and years in the archives, you know, in the libraries, to dig up all the information that we so value today, and it will give us so much more weaponry in terms of fighting this matter.
No, absolutely. And you know, if one gets hold of Dr. Ahmed Davids's book, in the book he's got where, you know, all the plots have been allocated, and as you say, the imams basically agreed. It was a consensus that land had to be wakaf. It was for the benefit of the community and not for them. And I have also researched. I cannot find any instance of any Bukhab imam ever claiming personal possession of any of the land in the town of Baru. It's in terms of wakaf, Dr. Adil, I'm sure you agree, it's cut and dried wakaf.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, those imams, maybe they were not as educated as we were, but certainly their Aqidah was much greater than ours. So I just cannot for the life of me imagine them coming together over a cup of coffee and saying, let's buy this land for our own use. Well, maybe, inshallah, we can build a mansion on it. It's just impossible.
Absolutely.
That they would have such a conversation. Clearly, they came together and said, let's make the Tanabaru a cemetery, a consolidated cemetery. And the fact that it took place on the same day, that these sales took place on the same, very same day in 1857, in February, just gives you a clear indication that that was the niyyah.
No, absolutely. And also another thing, Dr. Adela, in researching this book I'm doing on Tan Kwan Guru, I have covered every single inch of the Tanubaru myself. Mm-hmm. And underneath that layer of grass and soil, a lot of the soil has slipped down the hill. In the old days, the Tanubaru was actually terraced. Now, underneath the sections which the people want to develop are old. The gravestones are still there under the soil. If you dig, you will still find those old slate gray gravestones with the names of our ancestors on them. They're still there. And this is what the people want to develop. And some people are claiming, no, nobody important is buried there. Subhanallah. How can they say that?
Subhanallah. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it's absolutely true what you're saying. And then we have one of our trustees, Faisal, who does a lot of amateur archaeological work, and he often digs up these tombstones, you know.
Yes.
And we have now preserved them, we have polished them up, and we are, you know, obviously displaying them. As we enter the Tanabaru, we have put a few on display to demonstrate the fact that, you know, that there are many, many tombstones resident there, and it's just for us to do a bit of additional work to uncover them.
Absolutely. Dr. Adil Davids, the chairperson of the Tanabaru Trust, shukran for chatting to us. And inshallah, let's hope that this matter can be settled amicably, and that one of the most sacred pieces of land to Muslims in South Africa can be preserved and carried on to be the waqf that it should be. But shukran for chatting to us.
Afwan, Shafiq. Shukran kathir.